This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Pollsters and pundits across the nation were stunned by the results of Michigan's Democratic primary. Even though Hillary Clinton had won every single poll taken over the last month, Bernie Sanders beat her in Michigan. Michigan Radio's It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta are with us now. And Rick, I saw the political blog 538 saying, well, I'm eating a big stack of humble pie. He's calling the Sanders win in Michigan, I'm quoting him, one of the greatest upsets in modern political history. Do you agree, Rick?
Yes, it is. And we should point out that that wasn't the revered Nate Silver who wrote that piece,
right,
but another writer for 538 blog.
Yeah, Harry Anton.
Yeah. You know, what 538 typically does is aggregate polls and then comes up with a statistical probability of who's going to win. And the aggregate of polls showed a 99% chance of Hillary Clinton winning. We know that Bernie Sanders staged an upset, but Zoe, who would you say the big losers were last night?
The pollster.
The pollsters.
Yes.
And it was across the board. It was in-state polling firms, out-of-state polling firms.
That we're not talking 2 to 3%, you know, 2 or 3 points. I mean, we're talking
double
about
digits.
Polls, double digits, mm-hmm. Some that had her at like 22 points ahead, which I think we all didn't think it was going to be that close. But I think probably had, you know, she won by double digits, we all would have been like, yeah, sure, that's what the poll said. And so, I mean, this really is, as that quote says, I mean, this is just one of the greatest polling upsets. And it just shows this momentum that maybe we in the media have not been doing the best job of keeping an eye on and relying on this idea that the Clintons and their ability to get out urban votes, you know, did they take it for granted?
Well, you know, when we're talking about the polling, one of the things that I wonder what might have gone wrong, and this is just a theory on my part, but pollsters sometimes have what Nate Silver calls a house bias. They just sort of, for whatever reasons, their methods are naturally weighted toward a particular candidate. And I just wonder if there was just such widespread belief in the power and competence of the Clinton operation that there was a built-in house bias to just sort of weight things in the direction of Hillary Clinton.
And maybe voters are sick and tired of polls telling them how they're supposed to behave. They're like, I'm just going to do what I want. Stop telling me these, because there's such a flood, nonstop polls.
That's true. But I guess my question would then be, how would those two things connect? How do they play together?
Well, don't tell me to vote for Hillary because I'm going to go in and do what I want. And they did. And by the way.
So are you saying that you think that people are lying to pollsters?
Maybe. I don't know. It just seems that there is kind of a sense of stop telling us what we're going to do. I mean, I want my voice to be heard when I step into the ballot box, and I'll make my decision then.
Well, Cindy, and as you and I have been talking about for a while now, you could have that same narrative and jump over to the Republican side and talk about Trump. And
then, yes.
You know, Mitt Romney came out last week with this, you know, fiery speech, at least fiery for Mitt Romney. You know, this anybody but Trump. And yet, you know, there was then some folks going, hey, did that only, you know, make Trump stronger? That here is the former candidate, the establishment candidate, some might say, mm-hmm. saying don't vote for Trump. And if anything, did that make people even want to come out more?
Because we know Trump supporters want an outsider.
Well, I think it was pretty plain that Romney was speaking for the establishment, and Trump voters are basically anti-establishment. But here's the other thing about that, which is that the polls basically got Trump and Cruz and Kasich
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why the disconnect just in the Democratic primary?
Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. is really, we don't have an answer for that, do we?
Mm, no.
And knowing that Michigan, boy, they stepped it up. We had more than 2.5 million votes cast yesterday, and that breaks the mm-hmm. old record set back in 72. And I will date myself. That was my first election. And George McGovern running against Richard Nixon. And we young voters were really invested in that election because of the Vietnam War. So did these young voters sway this as they stepped up and said, we're voting for Bernie?
It would seem so. And it would seem that Hillary Clinton might have done herself a favor by maybe spending a little less time in Detroit in particular, where she and her husband and her daughter really, really worked that city.
They did.
And maybe spend a little bit more time like Bernie Sanders on college campuses.
And yet when you look at Wayne County and you look at the city, they also didn't do as well there as some mm-hmm. of the polling would suggest, too. So who knows? Maybe, yes, they could have gone to the East Lansings, the Ann Arbors, the Kalamazoos more. But then would that have taken away from the time? Because they barnstormed Detroit this past weekend. I mean, the former president, Hillary, Chelsea Clinton, all over that city. So then you go, okay, that's how much time and energy that took. And they still didn't quite meet, you know, expectations.
Also, Bernie Sanders exceeded expectations when it came to African-American voters. Mm-hmm. That he didn't win them outright, but he did better than all the projections. And that was a big, winning big among African-American voters was a big part of the Hillary Clinton strategy.
Well, we know Hillary Clinton yesterday still walked away with way more delegates than Senator Sanders. But what
overall when all the primaries are
exactly
counted.
Not just him, but overall
Mississippi, yeah. Michigan,
yes. But what does Michigan tell the Clinton campaign?
That as she heads into the more industrial states, remember the last southern state has voted now. As she heads into the more industrial states, she had better pay closer attention, matching Bernie Sanders' populist message when it comes to income inequality and free trade agreements.
And I think we're, you know, Ohio is the next, you know, really big Midwestern state. That's next Tuesday. Polling there recently had her up 30
and don't forget Illinois.
And Illinois, you know, more, you know, working class, Midwestern, Rust Belt, up 30 points latest polls. Believe you me that folks are going to be looking at that polls again and saying, okay, A, did we get those a little wrong? And B, what kind of momentum do voters in the Midwest see from Bernie winning? Go, hey, maybe this guy has a chance. I want to try and do this.
Let's talk about the GOP and John Kasich, as you mentioned, Ohio, because it's been very clear that's a must do for him as much as Florida is for Marco Rubio. What did Michigan say to everybody who is not Donald Trump in the GOP?
I think they said, eh.
Well,
I mean, look, Kasich needed to come in second and a decisive second in Michigan to keep, you know, this same sort of narrative that Hillary Clinton had or was hoping to have, which is, you know, I am from, you know, the Midwest goes for me. Rust Belt, middle income, white voters, Kasich, and also Barnes. I mean, he was here this week and still came in third, though, given, I mean, almost he was Cruz 24.9, Kasich 24.2. So, I mean, almost a virtual tie. But
yeah, I think
really
it was a virtual
to win second place in Michigan to have a narrative going forward. And he didn't.
Well, I'll quibble with that.
Sure.
I think that he can claim that narrative going forward. However, it is interesting that John Kasich said if he had spent any more time in Michigan, he'd have to start paying taxes here.
Yes.
And there's some truth to that. And so what does it say that Kasich practically lived in Michigan in the week leading up to the primary? Ted Cruz made barely a stop in the state, once in Grand Rapids and once at the debate in Detroit. And yet they both had virtually the same result. That's got to be giving the Kasich campaign some pause.
Right, exactly. That's my point. And quickly, Cindy, just to have this note, though, as we're talking about Trump, the big winner, Sanders, the big winner out of Michigan, Trump got, and, you know, we're still counting official votes, but 481,000 votes. Top that with Bernie Sanders, 592,000. So when you're looking at actual votes, Sanders over 100,000, Hillary Clinton 572,000, so about 90,000. So both Democratic candidates, both still
individually
getting more votes than Trump.
Think we could see a Clinton-Sanders ticket in November?
Oh my gosh, no. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't want to say that. choosing running mates is such alchemy that I wouldn't want to venture a guess this far out. But the other thing is, how much is she really going to need him on the ticket? Because no matter what, if she is the nominee, and I think that's still the expectation, that Sanders is going to come out strong for her as a far and away better alternative to whoever the Republicans nominate. Yeah. So I don't think she's going to have to worry about some kind of a Sanders effect, except that, you know, there will be some people who are disappointed that the progressive populist didn't get the nomination.
Breaking down the Michigan primary with our It's Just Politics team of Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta. As always, thanks so much,
you two.
Thank you,
Cindy.
My pleasure.